Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Amen. We've got a full boat today. Amen. So if the rains start coming and the floodwaters start rising, we're in a good place to be. Hallelujah. We built this building out of concrete, so we know it'll float. Hallelujah. Well, it might not float, but you know, we're here to get what God has for us. Amen. I'm so thankful that you all came out. We threatened our people. We said, either bring people here or you're not allowed to come back. And so some of you, they wrangled in here by force, I know. And they said, you got to come here because Pastor Jeff won't let me come back. But no, we know that's not the truth either. But we're so thankful that you're here. We know that God's doing great things through this church. He's doing great things through the family churches. Amen. You know, I'm just so thankful. It was the family. It was getting hooked up with the church, a right church, that changed my life. You know, just because I've often said this, just because there's a cross on the door doesn't make it a good place to be. Amen. And that's not me coming against other religions or other faiths, but I just know this, that where the word of God is preached, lives change. You know, in my life, I suffered from depression. I suffered from anxiety. I suffered from drug abuse. I suffered from all kinds of things. And that was only changed after the word of God got put in me. Amen. I could only let go of some of those things once the word of God was put in me. You know, and so a lot of people, you know, and there's people here today that knew me from my past life, and they would say, you know, that the Jeff that was then was probably a lot different than the Jeff that was now, and that's okay, because God wants to work in us to affect a positive change, amen, and he endeavors us all to help people and to go on and to do his will. One of the wonderful things that I love about our Lord is that he has not intended us to just haphazardly walk through life, not knowing what to do, not just trying to figure it out. What's this plan? What's that? God tells us in Jeremiah 29:11 that he has a plan for us. And that plan is for blessing. Amen. That plan is to prosper us. Now, that doesn't just mean financially, but first and foremost, it means that God wants to take us somewhere else. He wants to take us into a place where we're actually blessed, where life is good. Amen. We have a God who loves us so dearly that he sacrificed his son for us. Amen. And I'm going to try to get through this message without tears, because sometimes when you start preaching about the goodness of God and the love of God, when you've been redeemed from hell, when you've been brought out and you've been set on a new course and you realize what God has actually done for you, oh my God, I'm telling you what, it's really hard to, sometimes it's hard to even find the words. There was a moment even before service, you didn't see me, I walked through here smiling, but I went in my office to have a good cry. Because God is so good, he's just that good, amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. And I'm going to stop talking about that for a second. Hallelujah, about how good he is. I'm going to talk about some other things. We're going to get into the message today. No, we're not going to stop talking about it. We're going to just believe with me that we'll get through to the end. Amen. Jesus said that they're going to the other side. I'm just going to believe we're going to hook up and go on to the other side with him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if you don't know, I'm not putting it on. And the reason I can say that is because if you've ever stood in front of a group of people, the last thing you want to do is start crying. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But today's message is called Don't Hide, Seek. Don't hide, seek. Hallelujah. You know, many people are looking for a lot of things in life. People are, if you just look around, if you look at the news, if you look at social media, if you talk to your neighbor, it doesn't matter where you go. People are looking for something. And the reason that people are looking for, everybody's looking for something. It doesn't matter if you're in the jungle in a third world country. It doesn't matter if you're in the biggest city in the world. It does not matter. Everybody is searching for something. And the reason that they're searching for something is because God has created each and every person to seek after him. And until people find him, they can never be truly filled. They can never feel complete. They will go through life. That's why you see people, you know, and they seem to get everything that they ever wanted. They win the lottery. They win, you know, American Idol or whatever. And they get everything that they wanted. And they get out there and they're on stage and they're singing in front of millions of people. Or they're acting and they're getting paid millions of dollars for every movie. But then you still see a lot of these people. They live in depression and sadness. And the reason is because they've been seeking something, but they've been seeking the wrong thing. And they've been finding the wrong thing. See, because it's not money that helps people get to that place of contentment. It's not fame or fortune that will do that. It's not high social status, praise the Lord. You know, we taught our kids, and I thank God that God got to me at a good time before it was too late. But we've taught our kids not to seek after the world's plans, but to seek after God and see what God has for you. Because it doesn't matter what you want to do. It matters what God wants you to do, amen? That's the place that you'll be blessed. Well, we're going to start in one of my favorite scriptures. It probably could be called my favorite scripture. It's John 10:10. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me there. If not, we do post it up here on the screen. So just look up there and follow along. But John 10:10, this is Jesus speaking. And he very clearly tells us something. I'll never forget when I first got concept of this understanding of this scripture. This changed my life. Amen. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, when he says the thief, he's talking about Satan. He's talking about the devil. Amen? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Glory to God. People are looking for all kinds of places to find their fulfillment in life. People are looking at all kinds of things. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's just the next biggest and best. I have watched people, unstable people. I did this myself. I watched myself go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And the reason people jump from one thing to the next is because they're not satisfied. It's because they don't know the Lord. Amen? The most important thing that we can understand is that Jesus came for one purpose, and that was that we would have a life and have an abundant life at that. Not just have a life that was okay, that we're saved and it's filled with trials. Jesus said there would be trials. He told us that there was going to be trials. He didn't say they were from God. And this is a concept that it took me a long time to learn, but I'm so thankful that I learned it. God does not, the Bible tells us that God does not tempt man with anything. God is not the tempter. God is not the killer. He is not the stealer. He is not the destroyer. I'm going to say something right now that may rock some of your worlds, but it's the truth. And it rocked my world when I first heard it. God takes no man. God doesn't kill anybody. Nobody dies at the hand of the Lord. Why? Because God is not the author of death. God is the author of life. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And we're going to see some of this today. We're going to see it in some other scripture. But we're going to understand that God has not authored death. He has not authored, because why would a, and it wouldn't make sense. Because if you think about it, just logically speaking, why would somebody who was trying to create something then also throw something in it that tears it right back down? You know, God created life. He created this earth to function and to flow and to work a certain way. He created humans to have authority and to live in the power and the blessing of God. If you look in the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis, where it teaches us all about creation, God created man to be blessed. Yes. But it was through sin that separated man from God. It wasn't God's doing, it wasn't God's design. It was sin that separated them. And that sin is what keeps us from experiencing what God has for us. It isn't because God doesn't love us. And see, that's another aspect of it. And a lot of people have taught this over the years that God's trying to punish you and all this stuff. God is not looking. God sent his son to die for you. Now, if you're a parent, I would ask you to think about this again, from just a love, logical standpoint. Would you sacrifice your child for anybody? Would you sacrifice your child for the best of people? You wouldn't. Why is that? Because you love your child so greatly. But God, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And we're going to see that here in a minute, amen? But we see that the thief does not come except to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. People are all the time, they're blaming God. When something bad happens, oh, God must have wanted it. If I lost my job, well, God must have... No, that's not the way God works. God leads us into blessing. God's Spirit always leads us into blessing. It doesn't lead us away from blessing. Now, that doesn't mean we won't have opposition in life. But God has promised us victory if we'll walk in the victory. But we see that it's all up to us. It's what we decide to do. Everything with God has always been what we decide to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. People are always looking for fulfillment, but they always look for it in the wrong place. You think that you need money. You think that you need you think you need jobs. You think you need this. You think you need that. But what you really need is Jesus. Yeah. You think you need freedom, but what you need is Jesus. Because everything is wrapped up in Him. All the power of God, all the ability of God is wrapped up in Him. It's found in the Lord, in Jesus. Jesus is the answer for everything that we need. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want to share the scripture with you. Luke 19:10. I love this scripture here. It says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." This is why Jesus came, to find those who were lost. Amen? I don't know about you, but if you've ever been lost in life, but I've been lost. I've lived a life that was lost, going from one thing to the next, never knowing which way was up, which way was down, never knowing what God, I was raised to love God, to think God was good even, but I always thought God was the one who was manipulating. Like I had this idea of God as I was growing up, that God was up there pulling these strings and that everything that happened on earth happened by God's hand. And that if there was a storm, God sent a storm. If there was a fire, God sent a fire. If there was death, then God sent death. But see, this is the truth. We see in the Word that that's just not true. In fact, we see in the Word that just the opposite is true. And then we get to understand what happens when we realize that it's the devil who steals, kills, and destroys. When we start to realize that, then we understand that the devil is a liar. He's the king of liars. And then when we understand the scriptures that say that, praise the Lord. The Bible tells us, I think it's around John 8:44, it says that he is the father of lies. And so, you know, I heard this saying once, and I've always kind of liked it, even from the moment I heard it, because it made so much sense to me. It said that the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. And that's so true, because what the devil has done is he has wreaked so much havoc on this earth, and he has done it in the name of God. He has convinced God's followers that it's God who is removing from them, that it's God who is destroying. People say things like when someone dies that they're close to, well, God needed another angel. But when you read the Word, you understand that angels are a created being. They're not humans never become angels, and angels never become humans. They're two totally separate things. And so you understand the truth of the Word, and that's what we're here to do all the time. But that's what I'm here today is to convince you, to show you that as much as I can. I mean, it's hard to preach an everlasting God in the next 4 hours. Right. I'm going to try real hard, but we don't take 4 hours. But we can't preach. I can't preach everything and all the truths. I can just give you what I know and pack as much in as I can in the next 2 hours. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But God loves us. He's for us. He wants to help us. He wants to change our lives. God is not okay. See, God will accept anybody where they're at, but He is not okay with you staying where you're at. He wants to take you higher into a better place. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And don't you love it? You know, God talked about us being His disciples. Jesus in John 8:31, 32 talked about us being His disciples. You know, a disciple is somebody who learns. It's someone who's being taught. You know, I've said this before, but when you go to school, if you go to college for higher knowledge, higher learning, you don't go there for the sake of coming out dumber than you went in. Right. Praise the Lord. You don't want to like learn less. You don't want to come out knowing less. There's a lot of kids that go to college and all they do is just kill a bunch of brain cells and they do come out with less. Right. Praise the Lord. That's why you got to know whether that's God's plan or not, because God's plan isn't for you to just go out there and kill as many brain cells as you can and then still come out stupid, amen? Because God always wants to take us to a higher level, and so we have to understand that we don't do anything in life without intending to increase in that area. You don't go to your job hoping that, well, you know, in 20 years, I hope I make less than I do today. I hope that, you know, you don't go to your boss and say, you know what, you gave me a raise last year, but it was a little too much, and you know, I want to make a little bit less here. So you gave me a dollar an hour raise last year. Why don't you take me back to $1.50 less? So I'm, you know, because I want to humble myself and all that stuff, and I just, you know, nobody does that stuff, right? But see, God doesn't do that either. Why would He tell us? Why would He give us Jesus? He gave us, you know why He gave us Jesus? Romans 8:32 says that if He gave us Jesus, how would He not with Him give us all things? That's what Romans 8:32 says. See, what it's trying to show us is that if He give us Jesus, if He would sacrifice His Son for us, if He would go that far, that there is nothing that he will withhold. In fact, the Bible says he withholds no good thing from those who love him. Amen? He withholds no good thing from them. But, well, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Turn with me to John 3:14. You know, when I was led here for this scripture, because I seek the Lord, you know, I don't preach a box sermon. I don't go to sermons.com and get a sermon. I don't preach what we preach every year at this time, because that's not the way it works. I follow the Lord and I seek God and ask him what he wants me to give the people. And when the Lord was leading me to these scriptures, I'm like, really, God? Because, you know, we're going to get to John 3:16, and just about everybody, whether you're saved, unsaved, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, just about everybody in the world knows John 3:16. Now, if you don't know John 3:16, don't feel embarrassed. Don't get all red-faced and stuff like that. Just sit there and listen, because it might sound familiar to you. But if it doesn't, you'll probably see it on a doily, on a pillow. You'll probably see it on a mirror in somebody's wall. Grandma probably has it written somewhere. John 3:16 is probably the most famous verse of all scripture. I remember when I was a kid, I could quote no other scripture other than John 3:16. Amen. But we're going to start in John 3:14, because we're going to put it in context. That's something we love to do. We love, see, the Bible is not up to different interpretation. You know, and this is something that's hard for people to understand until you put it to them in the sense of something that makes sense. And I always use this analogy because I think it's best. If you were baking a cake and you went to your cupboard and you were following your recipe, amen, you had your recipe sitting down there, it's your instructions on how to make a cake, and you sit down and you're like, all right, I need some eggs, I need some flour, I need I need a couple cups of sugar. And then you go through your cupboards and you're like, well, I have all this stuff except for the sugar. I don't have any sugar. But what I do have is I have salt. And salt looks a lot like sugar. When you look at salt on the surface, it looks exactly like sugar. In fact, sometimes if you had salt in the sugar container, most people couldn't tell the difference. Amen? That's the truth. But if you bake a cake and you throw in 2 cups of salt instead of 2 cups of sugar, you're going to have a very different cake at the outcome. Amen? That cake isn't going to taste so good. Now, while salt is good for some things, it doesn't work when baking a cake. Amen? And so when we bake our cake, when we're looking at the recipe, we want to make sure we're using the right ingredients. The Bible's clear. God didn't give us a book so we didn't understand. He gave us a book to understand, but what happens is there are things in this book that are challenging to us. There are things in this book that make us think about our lives. There are things about this book that make us question things about what we do. And when we see that, sometimes people don't like that. And what they do is they're like, well, I want the salt instead. You know what I'm saying? So we don't want, the Bible is not hard to understand. The basic principles of the Bible are very, very simple. Amen? Praise the Lord. So John 3:14. It says here, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that's an Old Testament story, and it was a precursor of the coming of Jesus. It was a prophetic message of the coming of Jesus. So if you don't understand, that's fine, because that's not where we need to be. But as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen? That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's John 3:15. John 3:16 goes on to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It just, in 2 verses, he said the same thing twice. Why do you suppose God did that? Well, you don't repeat yourself unless it's important. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you repeat yourself to your kids because you want them to get it, what you're saying. You say it more than once, amen? That's the exact same thing that God was doing. He wasn't just being redundant. He wasn't being poetic. He wasn't just like, oh, I gotta fill up this book with some more words, so I'm just going to repeat myself a couple times. God doesn't do that. Everything that God speaks, if God has a plan and a purpose, the Bible says that he orders our steps. And so if God orders our steps, then his steps are surely ordered. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we see that God wants us to have everlasting life. This word everlasting is very important. Most people, and as I grew up, I always thought that everlasting life meant, you know, from the time you die on. And it includes that. But when you look up this word in the Greek, you start to get an understanding of what God was saying. See, the Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in two basic languages, mostly. It was written in Hebrew and Greek, the Old Testament in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. And the reason that matters is because the words don't always have a perfect translation. In other words, like in the New Testament, there's like four or five words for the word love. And in the English language, there's only one word. So why do I say all that? Because sometimes we have to dig in and get the meat of the matter to find out, you know, what to understand it fully. Amen. So everlasting, it means perpetual, never ending or changing, occurring repeatedly, unrelenting, persistent, continual. It gives us the idea, when we understand the context of what God's saying, it gives us the idea that the life starts at that point of reception, that whenever that is received, that's when it starts. Eternal life does not start when you die. Eternal life starts when you make the decision to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and follow after Him. That's when it starts. So the wonderful thing about that is now we can start, when you start putting scriptures together and you start seeing God's plan and God's purpose, now you can reflect on John 10:10 and you realize that when He said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly," that makes sense when you read it with the scripture, doesn't it? Now you're like, oh, wait a minute, I understand that He wants me to have an everlasting, a life, a good life, an abundant life that starts at reception, that starts when I receive Him, that starts when I say yes to God, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we want to continue reading. It goes on to say, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Here we see that word saved again. And many times through the Bible, you'll see the word salvation. You'll hear in churches, you'll hear salvation and saved all the time. Have you been saved? Have you been born again? All these things. And a lot of times people don't even understand what that means. That word saved means saved from the destructions of this life. Saved from the things that are trying to destroy us in this life. Now, see, this is a thing. This is a thing that we learn about our Lord. That God can only work on our behalf if we choose to allow Him to work on our behalf. God only works that way. And see, this is where people get tripped up, because they see Aunt Sally, who went to church all her life, or Grandma who went to church all their life, and they were good people and they did good things, but they were constantly bombarded by these attacks, and they were wiped out, and finally they were taken home early or something like that. That's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. But what happens is because people, in Hosea 4:6, the Bible says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They're not destroyed because there's an enemy on this earth. They're destroyed because they don't know enough. They don't know that they had eternal life. They don't know that they had the power. And what happens is, if you don't know, what you don't know can and will hurt you. People put up security systems on buildings. My son installs them, praise the Lord. But people will put up security systems on buildings. Why is it a business that can create jobs? Because people don't know what's coming. And so they want to protect themselves ahead of time. The Bible is the best security system that you can ever have. It tells us what to expect. It tells us what's the devil and what's God. It tells us the difference between the two. It tells us how to get into God's favor. It tells us what God wants for us and how to receive. And God's not withholding from us. We have to understand that. But God simply can't get it to us unless we accept it, unless we receive it. Amen? We even see, if you go back in Mark, I think it's in Mark 6, the book of Mark, or somewhere around there. In Mark 6, I think it talks about Jesus being in his hometown, and he couldn't do many mighty works. Jesus, the Son of God, couldn't heal people in his hometown because they didn't receive Him, because they didn't believe Him. They didn't trust Him. They just said, oh, this is a carpenter. You see, it's the same thing with God today. Like, God can't work on our behalf if we constantly push Him away. God can't work on our behalf if we shut the door to Him. God can't work on our behalf if we don't even know who God is. He just can't do it. And that's, of course, why we pray for people and stuff like that. Praise the Lord. But I guess I have to keep going. Praise the Lord. For God did not send His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Praise God. How far was it going? Verse 18. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Praise God. God has intended every man, woman, and child. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish. But we know, according to the word, that a large portion of the world will end up, they'll perish. They'll be in hell forever. They won't see God, and it's because God doesn't love them. It's because he can't reach them. He can't get to them. Jesus was the bridge that gave us the ability to get back to God. Because originally we were with God. So without Jesus, there is no bridge. God gave us everything. He did everything ahead of time. He set us up to get there. But so many people, they reject Jesus. There's people that would rather have their religion than they would have Jesus. That the religions that are based on this, sometimes once great religions, and they've turned from the Word of God. And so they become a liability to people instead of being a blessing to them. They teach things that are false. They teach things that aren't true. This word is not old and archaic and doesn't apply anymore. I'm going to tell you what, my family, we put this word to practice every day of our life. And that's why we see blessing in our life. Amen? This is what brought me out. This is what set me on a new course. This is what saved me. This is what saved me from all the ills of my past, all the things that I was wrapped up in. Amen? Praise God. Glory to God. So we see that God is doing good things. He wants to do good things in us. Amen? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Praise the Lord. Now I want you to turn with me to Romans 6. Praise the Lord. Verse 20. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, God wants us to have an abundant life. There's so many people, they're asking, they can't understand. They're like, why would God destroy the, I remember back when Hurricane Katrina happened, and I remember some dumb loudmouth preacher came out and said, oh, it's God destroying people. This wasn't God destroying people. Because God, there's a whole bunch of people. When 9/11 happened, some loudmouth Christians got out there and said, well, it was God's judgment. No, it wasn't God's judgment, because it killed a bunch of people it didn't just kill people who weren't saved, it killed people that were saved. There was no rhyme or reason. God isn't using terrorists to do his bidding, amen? God isn't using things that the devil, and we see that. We see Jesus when he was in the boat, and the boat was sinking because of the storm, and Jesus rebuked the storm. So why would we think the storm was of God? The Bible tells us it wasn't, but people, for some reason, because it's easier sometimes for people to believe in a God who, if everything is orchestrated by God, then there's some kind of idea that we can place on it that says there must be purpose in it. But sometimes things happen just because things are bad. If somebody goes out and gets drunk and then drives their car and then goes and kills somebody, that isn't a plan of God. God didn't determine whether or not that person should die. God didn't make that person drink. That was an act of the devil, because a person went out and did something that was evil, and by doing so, they created havoc in other people's lives. And that does happen, amen? But that's not God's plan. Romans 6:20, praise the Lord. It says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Now what this means is when the Bible clearly tells us that we serve one of two masters. We either serve God or we serve the devil. We can't serve both. There is no serving both. You serve one or the other. Amen. And so righteousness is basically right thinking. It's thinking like God thinks. Amen. Or thinking in line with what he thinks. But it says, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But I love this question here. I remember the first time I found this, how much it meant to me. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Praise God. See, another place where it clearly tells us the end of those things is death. Not the end of the things of God. God isn't causing death. God didn't ordain death. He didn't say death is good. In fact, the Bible tells us that death is the last enemy. The last enemy. Amen? So we see this, the end of the fruit of the things, the living wrong, living the way that we shouldn't live. This is why God is trying to get us, the Bible encourages us. It's not about putting rules and regulations on us, but it tries to encourage us to live right, because when humans don't live right, death is the answer. Death is the end of those things. This is the same thing that happens. You know, this is why, I'm not going to go on too much of a rant on it today, but this is why I'm so much against drinking. Because I have seen nothing but death come from drinking. I've seen nothing but destruction come from it. Nothing but death and destruction come from it. You cannot convince me that it's good. All I've watched is death come from these things. And yet you see Christians out there today that they're soaking it up. And they're trying to justify it. They're trying to justify their sin by something else. And the world looks at them and thinks they're foolish. Why are you any different than I am? The Bible says to come out from among them and be separate. To be different. To look different than what the world looks like. And then the church today, unfortunately, and if you're not saved, I'm just gonna tell you, you've been seeing a church out there that is foolish. You've been seeing a church that isn't lining up with the Word of God, that doesn't even try to. They try to figure out more ways to be like the world than they try to be separate from them. And God said the end of those things is death. He said it's foolishness, it's death. God is trying to lead us out of death. He wants us saved. He wants us to live a good life, a happy life, a fulfilled life, a life with direction, a life with promise. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God is a healer. Jesus, all he did was walk around healing. God isn't making you sick. God makes no man sick. Sickness is of the devil. Now, that does not mean that you are sinning to become sick. That's not what I'm saying. But what it means is the devil attacks people with sickness. God is giving sickness to no man. Because God does not have sickness to give. How could he have sickness to give if all he wanted to do was destroy it when he was here? Makes no sense, does it? It doesn't make sense to me either. And I'm just going to keep going on with what the Bible says. I don't care what people believe. Amen? Praise the Lord. God wants us healed. He wants us healthy. He wants us prosperous. He wants us whole. He wants us going on a new course. He wants us set free. This is the God that I serve. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I get stirred up and excited. So anyways, verse 22, but now having been set free from sin. See, this is the thing about sin that people, you know, Christians, good Christians will talk about sin. And the world sometimes doesn't receive that well. They don't like to hear the word sin because sin makes you know you're doing something wrong. But see, people look at it from the wrong standpoint. See, here it says we've been set free from sin. If you've been set free from something, sin is a trap. It's a snare. It's something that holds you. It's something that binds you. It's something that keeps you from moving into the blessing of God. Hallelujah. It's something that holds you back. Sometimes sin, and the Bible tells us, sometimes sin is enjoyable for a time. But the end of it is always death. It always is. It's always death at the end of sin. Amen? Death in something. Not necessarily just death in your life, but maybe death in a relationship because you sin. Maybe it's death in a family because you sin. Maybe it's death in your whatever, in your job because you sin. Amen? Glory to God. Don't we see that? I mean, we can see that a lot with public officials. You know, all of a sudden, these people are out there, they're saying all these good things and stuff like that. They're saying, oh, you know, we're for this and we're for that. And then all of a sudden, there's some scandal that comes out. It's sin. That's all it is. And people who live according to sin will eat the fruit of that, of the sin. Amen? Praise God. Having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. In the end, everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Now look at verse 23. This is very important. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin. Wages are something that are earned. Wages are something you earn. When you go to work, you earn wages. You'd be surprised if you didn't get a paycheck. And you probably wouldn't stay at a job very long that stopped giving you a paycheck. Why? Because they're not giving you the wages for what you've earned. Wages are something that are earned. Now, again, this isn't God putting it on people. But what this does, and what we learn when you look at the Bible, when you look at the New or the Old Testament, when you go back to the creation, and you see where man sinned, God set up man with everything. He gave him everything he could ever want. And he said, and everything that, if it wasn't quite good enough for man, he made it better. Praise the Lord. He gave him a little bit more. And the Bible said he put gold in the garden. There was gold in the land. There was fruits, all kinds of fruits and vegetables, things you couldn't even imagine. There was every animal that you could imagine was there, everything he ever needed. And he said, of all this stuff you can freely eat, you can have anything you want, but stay away from one thing. Stay away from one thing. And it wasn't the tree of knowledge. So many people say, it was the tree of knowledge. It wasn't the tree of knowledge. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's a big difference between that because God wants us knowledgeable. He wants us to know things. God doesn't call us to be foolish. God wants us to know, but he said, stay away from this one tree because he had to give us opportunity in order to give people free will because he loved us so much. Would you want somebody bound? Would you want somebody to marry you just because they had to? Because you put a gun to their head and said, you must marry me? What kind of relationship would that be? God doesn't bind people. The devil binds people. Only the devil. God doesn't bind people. Amen? And so he had to give them the freedom to choose right from wrong. And man chose wrong. And as soon as man chose wrong, death entered the human race. And it's been perpetuated ever since. So what God did through Jesus is he brought him to us to give us a way out of that death. See, this is what a lot of people don't understand, and I've been asked this before. How can a loving God send people to hell? God sends no man to hell. He doesn't send anyone to hell. People go there on their own accord because they choose to. You say, well, I didn't choose that, but you chose to reject God, and that's the only way out of it. The only way out of that everlasting torment is through the acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's the only way. There is no other way. Praise the Lord. Do you know the one thing I love, one of the greatest things I love about Christianity, and this is truth, is that this is the only religion, the only faith, where man came to earth, or God came to earth, to become a man and sacrifice himself for us. And every other thing, you have to do something to obtain God. You have to live a certain way. This just says, receive my son, who I send for you. Amen? That's what I love about it. Praise the Lord. One of the many things. See, so we see that God isn't intending for us to die. We see that the Bible is very clear about these things. You can't, I mean, when you see the wages of sin is death, how can you take that any other way? It's not, when you earn it, you've earned it. I mean, that's just the way that it is. God didn't intend the human body to ever die. In fact, the first thing that God did when Adam sinned was he took the tree of life away from him. The tree of life was fruit that gave them everlasting life. Man was never created to die. Adam and Eve could have lived forever in the Garden of Eden. But why did he do that? Because he's a loving and gracious God. And you could say, oh, Pastor Jeff, how is he a loving and gracious God if he took life away from them? Because God knew the only way to stop death from working in their life was allow the mortal flesh to die and give them a way that they could get their spirit back into God's grace into heaven. See, because we are not just this fleshly body. We are here for 70 years, give or take some. Amen? Some people are here longer, some people are here less, but there's a relatively short time that we're here. Everything that you think is important 100 years from now will mean nothing. Because I'm going to tell you probably, I could say with pretty good surety that 99% of you in 100 years won't even be here anymore. In 150 years, nobody will even remember your name. In 150 years, people won't even know who you are. You know, as I walk through, my wife and I enjoy walking through cemeteries. We always find it peaceful to do so. But as I walk through cemeteries, one of the things I always think about is how every gravestone that I pass, that there's somebody there that had a life, that lived a life here, and they lived a life, whether it was good or bad, I don't know, and most people don't know. Sometimes when I go through antique stores, it's the same thing. You find boxes and boxes of antique photos. Nobody knows who these people are. We live here for such a short time. It's such a short time, but there is eternity afterwards that we have to consider. And so this matters. It matters what we choose here. Amen? Praise the Lord. And see, here's the truth, and this is what I found as a pastor. God will make every opportunity to get to people and to teach them the truth. He will make every opportunity. If you're sitting here today, you've got that opportunity today. God has opened the door for you today, for today. But each and every one of us decides whether or not we do it. Each and every one of us decides whether or not we continue in it. I said continue in it. Because the Bible is very clear that people can walk away from it too. Very clear about that. Yeah, absolutely. And if you don't believe me, come up afterwards and I'll talk to you and I will show you scripture after scripture after scripture where it says so. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So that was Romans 6:20. Yeah, we read through 23. Now I want to flip over to Jeremiah 29:11. We read this at the beginning. You know, I preached in Erie last night for my pastor. I preached in Erie last night, and I used this same scripture last night the same scriptures I'm about to read to you. God has been dealing with me so much lately on seeking Him. And you might say, you know, you might even say, well, how does your message really correlate with seeking Him? Maybe you don't see it. But see, this is the thing, is God has created every one of us to seek after Him and to find Him. But see, to understand that we need to understand what it is we're seeking after, we have to know what it is. And that's what a preacher does. A preacher proclaims the truth of God to people so that they can find Him and so they can get into His will more easily. Amen? So let's Jeremiah 29:11, starting there, says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So we see that God has thoughts. Now this is something we have to understand here. God doesn't think random thoughts that don't matter. He thinks thoughts that are purposeful. Amen? And His purpose, there's a plan attached to that. God has a plan for every human that is alive today. Praise the Lord. Most people, even those who sit in the churches, have no idea what the plan is. They have no idea that God has even called them to seek Him. They just think, well, if I go to church on Sunday, I've done my Christianly duty. Listen, it doesn't matter to God that you sit in church. You have not earned brownie points by sitting in church. You have not earned brownie points by picking up your Bible. God gave us church. He gave us pastors. He gave us the Bible. He gave us Jesus, all these things. He gave it to us to bless us. And people act like church is like some kind of thing that we have to do. If you realize what church was, you wouldn't stay away from it. You'd be in it as quick as you can. Amen? My family and I, we plan our entire year around church. Every Sunday. Just about every Sunday. There's very, very, very few Sundays because it's the most important thing to us, because we recognize the importance of it in our lives. We know if I stay out of church for 1 week, I feel the effects of it. If I'm out of it for 2 weeks, I feel the effect of it. I mean, it's amazing how much that the devil can tear down in just such a short time, because you're not getting that what God has for you. Praise the Lord. Am I being mean? No, okay, good. I'm just not trying to be mean. But we want the truth, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So God has plans. He has thoughts. He has peace for us. This is God's plan for us. He has a future and a hope for us. Can anyone deny that? There's a future and a hope, right? I mean, you might deny it in the natural, but I'm saying, at least according to Scripture, you can agree that I'm not coming up with my own stuff, right? Praise the Lord. It goes on to say, then you will call upon me. When are you going to call upon Him? If you don't know God, if you don't know that God is good, if you don't know God wants good things for you, if you don't know God is after you, if you don't know God wants to help you, how are you ever going to call on Him? If all you've heard about God is this destructive God who takes babies and kills people and lets buildings fall and brings storms, if this is the God you know, then why on earth would you ever call on Him? You won't. And this is why I am tired of hearing people preach about a God who is trying to destroy them, when God has done everything. Everything that God has done is to build you up. Everything that God has done is to set you on a new course. Everything that God has done was to set you free and to get you back into His graces. God is not trying to destroy His people. He's trying to help His people. God loves you like any good father loves his children. That's our God. Praise the Lord. Excuse me while I get stirred up. That's our God. He loves us with His entire heart. He thinks about you when you aren't thinking about Him. When I was sitting on bar stools, when I was laying in my own vomit, when I was laying in bathrooms and hugging toilets that today I wouldn't even go into, when I was there, God was thinking about me. He was looking down upon me and He was saying, I'm going to use him to preach one day. Hallelujah. Because God saw past all the snarf. He saw past all the garbage. He saw something. He put something in me and He knew what it was. And He said, I'm going to bring that out in him in the right time when he listens to me. But see, it took me listening to him. It wasn't going to happen any other way. What it was I got tired of getting bit. I got tired of putting a gun in my mouth. I got tired of wearing a rope around my neck. I got tired of waking up and not knowing how I got there. I got tired of this pain in my head constantly pounding me. I got tired of all that stuff. And so finally I was like, I have to go. I got to reach out to the one thing that I know. I bent my Bible page. Hallelujah. Then when somebody told me God's got a plan for you, then when somebody told me that God wants to do something in me, that God doesn't care how it was before, He wants to start something new today. Then, bring that scripture back up there, praise the Lord. Then, I called on Him. And you know what? When I called upon Him, I went and prayed. Just like it says. And He listened. He heard every word that I said. Praise the Lord. And then, the word and, that adds to it, verse 13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me, search for me with your whole heart. When I got revelation of this, when I got the knowledge of this, when somebody preached the word to me and I was like, yes. I was like, yes, this is right. This, I knew it was right. I knew it was God. And so all of those years of chasing my own tail, all those years of trying to figure it out for myself, all of those years, they didn't mean anything. But right now, there was a new course. and I sought God and I found him, and you can do the same thing. See, because you might think, well, you're just preaching to me because if I don't come to this church. No, I know it doesn't matter if you don't come to this church. I'm preaching to you who sit in this church every single week. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's nobody who seeks God. The Bible tells us that. Not the way that they should. We need to search after God. We need to seek after God with our own heart. Listen, you're not going to seek God in the woods. You're not going to seek God at the baseball game. You're not going to seek God. You're not going to find God at your job. You're not going to find him there. You seek after him with your whole heart. What's important to God becomes important to you on the inside. That's what starts becoming your life. Your life changes. Yes, that's why I'm a preacher. You say, well, I don't want to be a preacher. Well, that's okay. God might not make you a preacher. But I'm going to tell you something. I didn't want to be a preacher either. The last thing I wanted to do was stand up in front of a group of people and say anything. Praise the Lord. My wife and I, we tell this story often, but my wife and I, the first Sunday, you know, the first time I ever really preached a message was 2 weeks before they sent me out to pastor. 2 weeks later, they sent me out to pastor. That the first Sunday that we were here in Mayville was the second time in my life that I preached a message in front of a group of people. And my wife and I left that service crying, literally in tears, thinking, dear Jesus, and saying, dear Jesus, do we really have to do this again? We didn't want to do it again. I didn't want it because it wasn't our plan, and it wasn't like it is now even. I mean, I was up there with the, you know, a microphone, and I had my iPad. This is all I had, and shaking, and every time I moved, the iPad would flip and then start back over. I didn't even know where I was in my notes, and I didn't know what to do. And I was like, I was like, what's going to happen if somebody with more knowledge comes to me and all this stuff? Worried about all this stuff. But see, God, he didn't care about any of that. See, God doesn't, none of that stuff, what's too big doesn't matter to God. In fact, God loves to bring you right up against what's too big. Because when he brings you up against what's too big, you can't do anything about it. And you look at God and you start searching for God with your whole heart because sometimes that's all you got. You're like, Lord, I'm in a trap. I got to get out. I can't do anything else. You need to help me. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm laying before the Lord on my bed going, dear Jesus, you got to help me because I ain't got a message for these people. Do you know that? This morning, up until 8:30 this morning, and I show up here at 10, I still hadn't had a message for this church. Not because I wasn't preparing. I had been seeking God and I had been going before, but I had nothing. I had nothing for you. I didn't know what I was going to talk about this morning. You understand, that's kind of a thing. When you go to church and you're the preacher, you kind of want to have something to say. You kind of need something to say. And I knew it was a special day. I knew that there would be people, and there were people that we want, and I want them to understand our God. That was my goal. That was my desire. And guess what? God met us, didn't he? He created a way. He opened the door for us to do that. Close to the end, I promise. We're fixing the clothes, as my pastor would say. And what we learned when he said that we're fixing the clothes is that generally meant nothing. Praise the Lord. But I'm just glad I'm going to be dipping in the lake in a little bit. I feel like I already have. Hallelujah. Lord, will you deliver us from this? But you know, there was a time when I remember sitting in church and I was a little kid and they had the windows open and everything. And like when you're sitting, I was sitting there in shorts and a t-shirt. It was hot because there was no AC in those old buildings. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. So we got a little bit and so we're good for it. I got to use another rag because the other ones... We might just baptize you here. It's mostly saturated. Or soaked up, you know. Glory to God. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God has created us to search for him with all his heart. And then he goes on to say, you remember what I said about repetition in the Bible? I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will be found by you. I'm going to stop there. I will be found by you. He promises us that. God, he's not far from anybody. He's not. There's no one that God is too far from. Even the worst of us, even the people that seem like they're the farthest off, God isn't too far from them. Amen? Glory to God. Hebrews 11:6, I just want to read it to you. You don't have to turn there. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please God, please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff in this one little scripture. First thing we see that without faith, it's impossible to please God. I've heard people that have come against our kind of preaching and say, we don't like those faith preachers. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If I'm not a faith preacher, then what am I doing? I'm not teaching you how to please God. You can't please God without faith. I can't please God without faith. We better be preaching faith. Because faith is what God made the whole world go around with. Faith is what gets you saved. Faith is the only thing that opens the door to Jesus. Faith in Him. It's faith. It's all faith. Faith, 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 faith. You might like faith, but I'm going to pull out the faith machine gun and blast y'all for a minute. Faith, 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 faith. We need faith. Faith is important. God gave us faith. He gave us the ability to have faith. But the awesome thing about faith is it is what it does. Faith can start as a small seed on the inside of us, but it can expand. It can change anything. Jesus said that with faith, you can speak to that mountain and say, be removed and cast into the sea. And those things that you say, they'll be done. That's what the Bible tells us about faith. Amen. But going forward, it says that who comes to God must believe that He is. Well, we understand according to Scripture that the demons believe in Jesus. They believe that God exists. So just believing God exists doesn't do us a lot of good. But believing that God is who He said He is. You remember that song? I don't know if you remember it. I remember it. We were singing at the beginning of service. God is God. My God isn't just God. He is the God. He is not a God. He is the God. There is no other God besides me, God, Jesus said. Hallelujah. God is God. He's the only God. Amen. That doesn't mean people serve Him. Doesn't mean some people serve God. Some people's gods are their jobs. Some people's gods are their checking accounts. Some people's gods are their investments. Some people's gods are their parents. Or some people's gods are this or that. There's only one God. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But then goes on to say that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you're diligently seeking, I was thinking about this, you know, as I was leaving last night's service. You know, when I met my wife, I was quite enraptured by her. I enjoyed her presence. Amen. I liked things. I didn't know anything about her, but I was quite drawn to her. Amen. Isn't that the way it usually happens? You know, because you very rarely marry somebody that you didn't even like. And if you did, well, there's issues with that. I mean, I've known people that have done that too. But it doesn't make sense to do that. So, but generally, you're marrying somebody that you like. And I was after her like a dog on a hunt, man. You know, she was my waitress, and she was walking around, and what I wanted was more than a cup of tea. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't mean that bad. Or that came later. But what I'm talking about is good things now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to be around her. I wanted to be in her presence. I diligently sought her. I forsook everyone else. I said, you know what? I don't care. I don't care about friends anymore. No, I do. You know, I got some friends here, and I did care about friends. But in the moment, you understand, what I was, my eyes were on this pretty young lady walking around the restaurant serving up coffee and everything else. Amen. And I would write her little love letters and little love notes, and I would make her little CDs, and I would try to convince her afterwards that I was really the guy that she wanted. Amen. And if you don't think that I'm lying, or if you think I'm lying, I'm not. You can ask her. It's true. Praise the Lord. We were sitting on the tail. I waited for her to get out of work. I made one cigarette last like 4 hours. Because I would say, yeah, I'd wait till she was out of work. The place closed at 1, the restaurant, and I was there. And I back then, you know, I was a smoker, and I was sitting there smoking. And I would stay around. Oh, I just got to have one more, you know. And I would just wait around. And she would come out, and I would act casual like I was just hanging out there outside a restaurant that closed an hour and a half prior. But whatever, she came out, and so we would talk, you know, and I was being nice to her, so she was being nice to me, and everything was happening really nice. But she had a different life, and she didn't have any interest in, well, it's not that she didn't have interest. I was piquing that interest, you know. I cast a line, and now I'm reeling it in. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this is what's happened. So we're doing this, we're sitting on the tailgate of my truck, praise the Lord, and we're yeah, three, four in the morning, we're sitting there just talking, you know. And I looked at her. I mean, she wasn't even dating me yet. She wasn't even saying that she had interest in me yet, but she was sitting there. So I figured, what else I got to lose, right? So I looked at her and I said, I'm going to marry you. Praise the Lord. Well, I did. Huh? She didn't run. And I thought that was a good sign. That was as good as yes to me. Amen. See, you got to be careful about what you say by not saying it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what's funny about this is when I met my wife, she was an atheist. She wanted nothing to do with God. She was raised to hate God, to think that God, that Christians were foolish. But you know what? She stuck around me a little bit. And I was a real good Christian. I was backslidden as you can be. But I was saved. But I knew that God was important. And so I expressed that to her. And she's like, you know, I don't want anything to do with this necessarily. But she saw my passion. She saw my desire. And she saw my love for the Lord. And so she decided for the sake of me, she would check it out. And she did. And my wife found something that was awesome. She found the truth for the first time in her life. She found that there was a real God and that he really wanted to do something for us. That God wasn't this bad God that all these people were trying to portray, but he was a good God, a loving God. And my wife's destiny that day, when she decided that, was changed from going to hell to going to heaven. Little did she know, a few years later, they make her a preacher. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It wasn't our plan, but we diligently sought God. That was the reason I brought all that up, is because when I was seeking after her, I was diligently seeking her. I just knew, and you know, I know the Lord inspired me to do so. But I knew with everything in me, and I was just after it. And see, that's the same. That's what it means. God rewards those who seek him, who diligently seek him. And this is a great thing about our God. If you start little, He'll meet you there. And then you'll go a little more and he'll meet you there. And he'll meet you there until he gets you to the place where he can use you for what he wants to. Amen. And then he blesses you all along the way. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm going to end with this scripture, end this part of the service with this scripture. 1 Timothy 2:5. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ." It doesn't come by the way you want to do it. It doesn't come by your way. It doesn't come by whatever God is to you. That's not the answer. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. That's Jesus Christ. He is the only way. And so now I'm getting to the part of the service where the main part of the service is done now. But I want to talk a little, just real briefly, I want to talk a little bit about baptism and what baptism is. Because a lot of people have a lot of ideas about what baptism is. And again, we go to scripture for our answers. I'm going to take you to some scriptures here. Actually, go ahead and flip over to Acts 8. Praise the Lord. Acts 8, around the 26th, start at the 26th verse. Let's get there. A lot of people ask us what we believe about baptism. Now, the Bible talks about really three different kinds of baptisms. This is the baptism of water. This is the baptism we're focusing on today. Don't worry, we're not talking about the other parts of baptism. That comes at a different time. But today we're talking about the baptism of water. And what baptism by water literally is, we see Jesus did it. You know, John the Baptist was the first one. And I'm not going to take you to all the scriptures for time's sake. But John the Baptist came and he urged people to repent from their sins and be baptized. Amen? And so people did that. He was a bold preacher. He was out there on the streets telling people, you're going to go to hell if you don't change from your ways. And he says the way to do it is to get, you know, and he was talking about getting baptized. Now we understand that the way that we get saved is through Jesus Christ our Lord, by accepting him, receiving him as our personal Lord and Savior. But we know the purpose of baptism, and we're going to see that here in a minute, the purpose of baptism is an outward expression of what we believe. Baptism says, this is what I believe. Therefore, if you are not a Christian, if you are not a believer, you cannot be baptized. Or you can be, but it doesn't do anything. Yeah. This is why we don't baptize children in these churches, because baptize children, babies, cannot make the decision to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. We do know this, that if something happens and a baby dies, they go to heaven. They don't, God didn't send them to hell or anything. There's an age of accountability, and what that is, we don't fully know that. But we understand that you know, babies, young children, because they can't make the decision when they're too young. If they can't understand the concept of Jesus, they can't understand enough. And I would say that would probably be the age of accountability, is if somebody can't understand the concept of Jesus and what he did for them, then they can't make that decision to receive him. But that doesn't mean that they're worse off or anything like that, because baptism is just an outward sign. It's just something that we do. It's kind of like a marriage. You know, you don't have to have a big marriage ceremony to get married. You know, I can marry two people in my living room if I wanted to. That's all there has to happen. But baptism, like the marriage, is an outward sign. It's kind of showing the world, it's showing God, this is what you believe, this is how you feel, amen? Baptism is also not sprinkling on of water. And if that's the way you were baptized, I'm not trying to come down on your faith or what you believe, but I'm just saying baptism, historically, traditionally, the way that it was done in the Bible was a submersion into water and then coming out. And the reason it was that is because what it shows is it shows that you are dying to your sins and you're being born again into your new life. That's what baptism shows. So it's a sign of being buried under water and washed from your sins and coming up new. Amen. So that's why we do it. That's what it's part of. We do it once a year here. We do it in the lake, mostly because we don't have a swimming pool that big. Amen. And it serves us great. There's nothing special about Chautauqua Lake water. In fact, if you know, well, there might be something special about it, but we'll talk about that after the baptism. Amen. Praise the Lord. But if it was dangerous, I wouldn't go in it either. Amen. Well, that's maybe not totally true, but you know what I'm saying. So you turn to Acts 26, and we're going to read an account of baptism, and this explains it really well, and this is why I like using these scriptures. Acts 8:26 through 39. And it says here, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying," Philip was a minister, amen, "spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along a road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. Excuse me. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. So he's reading out of the book of Isaiah. Amen. And the Spirit said to Philip, the Spirit of God said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Didn't mean knock it over. That was a nice way of saying go run up and catch him. Amen. And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, the eunuch said, how can I unless someone guides me? Praise the Lord. That'll preach, but we ain't preaching on it today. And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as sheep to the slaughter, and as lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. So he told him all about Jesus, what Jesus did, and how Jesus was talked about in the Old Testament and how the New Testament showed Jesus. And he explained to him how Jesus came to earth and lived as a man and died on the cross and his blood covered our sins. Praise the Lord. And God raised him up. So he didn't stay in death, but God raised him up back to life. Amen? So he explained all this to him. Amen? And now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? So he recognized something. There's a pool of water, and he wants to be baptized because he's been taught about the baptism. Amen? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, this is interesting because we see here that Philip's answer, he says, what hinders me? What keeps me from being baptized? And the minister, Philip, told him, he said, you have to believe in Jesus. It has to be a conscious decision that you make in your life. Now, we have some people signed up for baptism. And I believe I just kind of glanced at the list. I know them all and that they've received Jesus. And so we're going to talk about that in a few minutes when we go out there. But I'm going to open it up to anybody else. Anybody is welcome. If you've not been water baptized and you would like to, You can be baptized today. You're just going to have to know you're going to get wet, and you have to have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you didn't, you can receive him at that moment if you want. You can see, we're going to give you an opportunity here in a minute. But this is why we do baptism. So this is where it comes from. It's not just some weird thing that we do. Why, you know, people don't understand it. This is what God has set up. This is what God ordained. This is what the Bible says. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that is the bulk of my, but actually the word baptism, and I did want to share this with you. It means to immerse, to submerge, to make fully wet. Amen? That's what the word actually means. So if you look at that in the Greek, what it originally means, that's what it means. So praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for you. Thank you so much for spending time with us. We're going to transition into prayer, and then we'll go out for our picnic. Amen? Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for all that you've had for us. Lord, we know that you've done good things and great things for us. And Father, we see that in your word today. And today we want to just say, Lord, that we're going to seek you. We're going to do our best to seek you with all our hearts. Praise you, Lord. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. God, I know this. I want more of you. I want deeper knowledge of you. I want to be in that place that sets me free and continually and Lord, where I can help your people and be a blessing to your people even all the more. God, I'm after it. And I know there's others here that believe that with me. And so, Father, we just praise you for it. We worship you for it. You're so worthy. Thank you for what you did. Now, with all heads bowed, ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. And this is just an attitude of prayer. It doesn't mean that you're praying. It's just an attitude of prayer. And we do this for the sake of people. We're going to give an opportunity here to receive Jesus. This is the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. One of the first things when I've been asked, that I ask people, when somebody tells me that somebody has passed, is did they know the Lord? Because that's the most important thing. There is a day coming where you will expire, where you will no longer be living on this earth. And the only thing that's going to matter at that point is, did you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Praise the Lord. This is the most important decision you will make in your entire life. And so I ask you, if you were to die today, do you know that you would go, that you would meet Jesus, that he would come to meet you? Do you know that you have received him? And if the answer is no, you need to get on board. You need to do it. It doesn't mean you're joining this church. It doesn't mean that you're joining a specific religion. But it means that you are willing to say, yes, Lord Jesus, I need you to save me. So all heads are bowed, all eyes closed. What we're going to do is we're going to give everybody opportunity. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus, all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, people aren't looking at you, we're not going to call you up. What I'm going to have you do is just right there in your seat, you raise your hand real quick, have you put it right back down, and then our whole group, we're going to pray a prayer together right where we sit. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, go ahead and just raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, I don't see any hands. I'm going to give one more opportunity. Maybe you have received Jesus and you walked away from him. And I don't mean you've made a few mistakes, but you completely walked away. If that's you, if you've walked away from the Lord and you'd like to come back today, heads are bowed still, eyes are closed. It's just as easy as when you came the first time. Go ahead and raise your hand real quick and we'll pray with you. Praise you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. See, this is why I see that hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we had a few hands. Now, we're going to all pray together, and I just ask you if you would pray along with me. Now, if you raised your hand, if you didn't raise your hand, you said, well, that did apply to me, but I was just too nervous to raise my hand, that's fine. It's not the raising of your hand that gets you saved, but it is the prayer and the belief in your heart. And so if you raise your hand, this is very similar to salvation prayer. We pray the same thing because what got you there is the same thing that will get you back. So if that's you, if you raise your hand and just pray this with me and ask everybody else to pray it together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, that he died for me so I could come back to you. Wash me with his blood. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Glory to God.